and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hey, everyone. This is Mark from the Lantern Cast, and we are going to do a mini episode because Chad's special episode will drop at the end of the week. Should be on Friday, so I figured I would do this to fill in the gap and do a little mini release, plus because there's some stuff that's been building up that I wanted to discuss so relatively quickly that I'm not sure it wouldn't be as timely, I suppose, if one thing would be, but the stuff that I've seen wouldn't be. Because of the fact that it won't be this week's main episode release. And then we're going to, whenever we record the Green Lantern content next for the next Green Lantern issue, you never know. Sometimes things run over. So it's easier just to do this now. Plus, this will be relatively short and to the point. So let's start with what I've seen, because there's a bunch of things that I've seen. Not like crazy amount, but more than usual while since I saw the mystery movie at Regal on Monday. So that added another one to the mix. So let's go in order. I saw Crime 101, which was pretty interesting. You know, it's kind of like a crime noir. Chris Hemsworth was, I like Chris Hemsworth in this because usually his characters are always pretty emotional. And this character is emotionally stunted, though when you watch the movie, there's a plot reason why he is. But the interaction with his character, Halle Berry's and Mark Ruffalo's, actually is quite interesting in the movie, though there's a lot of things that are, when you go with the suspension of disbelief about how certain things happen and arguably the resolution of the movie itself, how things all worked out. But I enjoyed it, probably a little bit too long, probably could have had at least like 20 minutes shaved off of it, probably, because it kind of gets bogged down a little bit. But I'm going to assume it'll be on Prime because of the fact that it's an Amazon MGM movie. So it'll probably be on Prime, not just to rent, but probably free, even though it'll take a while. But I'm sure it'll be on Prime free. So I would recommend seeing that. We saw How to Make a Killing. The Glenn Powell movie was the Regal mystery movie that I saw this past Monday. The movie, I thought that movie was going to be a little more funny than it was. Not that I had heard much about it, but I thought it was going to be a little bit more humorous than it was. It really wasn't that funny. There were some funny. Don't get me wrong. There were some funny moments in it. But based on the whole plot of the movie about somebody basically bumping off their unknown, I mean, no non-relationship, but still family members in order to get the inheritance that you quote unquote deserve. That I guess you can only be so funny with that plot no matter what, regardless of what statement you were trying to make on the subject of that concept. Glenn Powell was fine. His character, I mean, again, makes some really, really bad decisions when clearly he should have stopped what he was doing, even though when you watch the movie, there's irony to the fact that what brings him down has very little to do with some of the things he was doing. Not, it has something to do with his choices along the way, but not quite in the way you would think. Let's just put it that way. Without delving into too many spoilers. To me, the big thing in this movie is not, and Jim, you'll appreciate this if you listen to this, because whenever I think of Jessica Henwick, I kind of think about our love for Gugu Mbatha-Raw and how it would appear that Gugu Mbatha-Raw is probably never going to be a big star. I mean, she's been a strong enough actress in many roles. And she's really starred as far as like standing out in a supporting role, but she's never broken through to be a star. And and even though she's been the lead in a bunch of things, it's never worked for her. Jessica Henwick, who's in this movie, you know, Colleen Wing from Iron Fist, that Jessica Henwick's another one of these actresses that is really, really good in everything that she does. and she kind of steals scenes in almost anything that she's in, such as Glass Onion. You know, her character, Peg, you know, Peg had almost nothing to do from a screen time perspective in Glass Onion, but she stood out and she stole almost every scene that she was in. And she's the real breakout star, the one who stole this movie, her character, who ends up being the real romantic interest for Glenn Powell. So the best thing about this movie is, again, do I think it's likely that this is going to be the role that puts her over the top and makes her a star? Probably not. And she is younger, certainly, than Gugu Mbatha-Raw, so she's still got a chance for that to happen. Kind of like the Isabella Merced Moner aspect. She's still young enough where she could probably, if she gets the right part at the right time, she might break through. But she may not. But at least Jessica Henwick, I think, just stands out in everything that she's in. And this is and she is the best reason, honestly, to go see this movie, I would say. I don't think it's going to last in the theater long, that all being said. But it's definitely worth watching, at least when it's free on streaming, if nothing else. We also saw Cold Storage on Thursday. That was the movie of choice because we probably would have seen Psycho Killer if they put the tickets on sale earlier, and they did not. Cold Storage is another movie that I thought was going to be funnier than it was. There's a few funny moments in it, but it's not that funny, considering it stars, the hell's his name? Joe Keery from Steve from Stranger Things. That, and with a surprisingly large role by Liam Neeson in this movie. I almost forgot Liam Neeson was in this movie before I went to go see it, and then Liam Neeson actually plays a major role in this movie. It is it's not your standard zombie movie, but it's got a certain intrigue to it, fairly predictable on some level, but it's interesting enough. Again, would I pay to go see it? No, I think this is a free streaming movie at best, unless it's like a really really cheap rental. But it was pretty short too. I think it's barely like an hour and a half, if it is an hour and a half, because the movie, I think the movie was like a 9:30 start time, and especially with trailers, nothing ever begins until like after, even the trailer package doesn't begin, I think, to like 9:40 these days or whatever. And this movie ended before 10:40. Not 10:40, excuse me. This movie ended before, I think, 11:30. So the movie was supposed to start at 9:30, and then you figured it probably didn't actually really start to 9:50, give or take. So the movie is relatively short, but it's harmless. It would be worth a watch. I'm 3/4 of the way through Alien Earth. I mentioned that the other day. And if I didn't fall asleep the other night on the final two episodes, that'd be done. But I don't want to reach a conclusion on this yet. I'll talk briefly about it only because not everybody will listen to this mini episode anyway, so I'll probably do another I'll do a true post-mortem on this once I see it. I think the acting in this movie, in the series, is good. I think Timothy Oliphant is really good, and I forget the actress who plays Wendy, but she's really good. The casting is really good. I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of the premise about trying to engineer the future between cyborgs and synthetics, and that doesn't have much of an appeal to me. I think when we see full-grown xenomorphs in this, they look kind of cheesy, considering they kind of look like TV budget xenomorphs, less so when you're seeing, you know, the facehuggers and non-full-grown. And some of the other creatures that Weyland Yutani research vessel was bringing back, some of those weird creatures they brought back, they're kind of interesting too. So I don't want to reach a conclusion yet on Alien Earth, other than the fact that it's been interesting. It certainly didn't lose me and make me not want to watch it. And I like the characters for the most part. I like the acting. So let's see. I'm going to go back and try to rewatch the last couple episodes in the next day or so, and let's see where that goes. And the only other thing I have, which Chad and I will probably talk about, but again, I'm not sure if we're going to talk about it in great detail, and it certainly won't be this week, but the solicit for Green Lantern 35. On sale May 27th, for those who care. Now, I'm going to read this solicit, and I showed this to Chad, and I know I showed it to Jim, and who had a similar reaction to me. This might literally be, and it may not be hyperbole, this might literally be the worst Green Lantern solicit I have ever read. So the solicit is, the glitz, the glamour, the giant alien that wants Odyssey dead. Wait, what? In order to ensure that her burgeoning career keeps, you know, burgeoning, Odyssey the Time Bandit is tasked with doing the meeting circuit. Accompanied by Kyle, she has to drive around to various coffees, lunches, and dinners to hobnob with the decision makers. But where there are celebrities, there is paparazzi and someone else. Someone who wants to stop Odyssey Star from rising into the sky of celebrity. Now, pardon my language here, but who the fuck cares about that? How is that appealing to anybody? Even if you're a Kyle fan, how is that solicit appealing at all? You just, it's like it's a matter of factly remind people that, oh yeah, Kyle's Green Lantern right now in the story, but it's about Odyssey. Who cares about Odyssey? They've done nothing to make you care about her since Jeremy brought her in the book. Who cares? So let's see if my prediction is true. I said it to Chad and I said it to Jim that my prediction is by the time this book comes out and we get the sales for it, the sales probably for this book on the ICB2 chart probably going to be like somewhere like around 175 for this book. I would be stunned if this book is any higher than 150. But I'm going to say it's probably going to be around 175 because who the hell is going to want to read this book based on the solicit alone? And the solicit for the first Kyle book didn't sound all that good. But this one sounds ridiculously, ridiculously horrible. That's it. I really don't have much else to say other than that, especially once I edit it. It'll be even shorter, but that's why it's a mini episode. So if you'd like to contact us, giving us your thoughts on any of the things that I've seen or this horrible solicit, which, again, Chad and I will probably talk about when we do Green Lantern, when we do the review for Green Lantern in our next recording. LanternCast@gmail.com. Website is LanternCast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. Use hashtag GLcast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podbean, among other places. Wherever you listen to us on, please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think. So good night, everybody. And again, this Friday, there will be the special Chad's special baby special episode release. So check it out, and we will talk soon. Good night.